Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord together. Well, as we've walked through the book of Ruth, we've seen a story that began with darkness and suffering. But slowly God transformed the story, showing us his faithfulness. Naomi had lost her husband, both sons. She returned to Bethlehem empty, bitter, having felt that the Lord had dealt harshly with her. And as we saw, even though Naomi couldn't see it, God was working in the midst of her suffering. Her daughter-in-law Ruth faithfully stood by Naomi. She refused to leave her, committed herself to her and her people and her God. And then in the fields of grace, God led Ruth to Boaz. And God uses Boaz to protect Ruth, to provide for her, showing her his loving kindness through Boaz. Ruth, in need of a redeemer, then went to the threshing floor to ask Boaz to be her redeemer. Boaz, an upright man of God, said that he was willing, but he needed to talk to the other redeemer who was closer. And so he did that. The other redeemer was willing to redeem the land, but not to redeem Ruth. But Boaz was willing to redeem Ruth. And that's where we find ourselves today as we finish up the book of Ruth in this final passage. And what we'll see is that what began with famine, death, grief, and emptiness is now hope and joy. God turns bitterness into joy. He has slowly put this broken family back together. I want us to look at Psalm 127, verse 3. The psalmist says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." One of the greatest gifts that God gives are children. And the psalmist says that they are a heritage from God. They are the fruit of the womb, a reward. They are the future. For Ruth and Naomi, a child would be a future that leads to a king. And that's the main idea today. God turns bitterness into joy and preserves the line of our great Redeemer. God turns bitterness into joy and preserves the line of our great Redeemer. The Lord gives us everything that we have, blessing after blessing. And Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi are about to receive one of life's greatest blessings. I got to thinking this week about, again, the first year of my wife and I's marriage, and we were attending New Creation, and we decided, okay, let's have a baby. We're in this life group with a few other couples around our age, and there was this other couple who had been trying to have a baby for quite some time. Janelle and I started trying and were pregnant in the first month. And I remember feeling guilty because we had been praying for this other couple. Yep. They had been trying for a long time. We got pregnant immediately. Well, praise God, they got pregnant the same month. Matter of fact, our daughters were born the same month, I think even the same week. Looking back, I'm pretty sure that I took it for granted. The blessing to conceive so quickly. Matter of fact, all three of our daughters came quick. But this other couple, I can't imagine the praise, the thankfulness to finally receive a child from the Lord. I didn't see this coming. It's been a while since I did this. But that's our first point today. God gives life. The Lord gives life. If you haven't already, turn to Ruth chapter 4 with me. We're going to be in verses 13 to 22 today. Verses 13 and 14. And then we'll pray. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception. And she bore a son.
Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you as we finish our series in Ruth. Today we ask that you would make known the wonders of your word, that we would see your providence in turning bitterness to joy, that we would see it was your plan from the beginning to use Ruth and Naomi to bring King David and ultimately King Jesus into the world. Guide us by your Spirit into the truth. Amen. So Boaz faithfully redeemed Ruth as he said he would in chapter 3. He completed this redemption by making Ruth his wife. If you think about this, this is an amazing statement. Ruth the Moabite, as she's been referred to over and over again in this book, is now Mrs. Boaz. No longer an outsider. The Lord has blessed her. And as we see in this verse, the blessing gets even better. The Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. I don't want this to be lost on us, how big of a deal this must have been for Naomi and Ruth. As a matter of fact, turn with me back to chapter 1. Let's look at verses 3 to 5 again. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there for about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. 10 years. No children, neither couple. The text doesn't tell us that either woman was barren. It doesn't tell us that God kept them from conception, though Naomi certainly felt that to be the case. This is obviously something that added to her statement that the Lord had dealt harshly with her. Dead husband, two dead sons, and absolutely no grandchildren. We're also not told how Ruth felt, having not had any children in the 10 years that she was married. But now God has given her a child. The Lord gives life. I also want us to see that through this child and through this redemption, God has answered several prayers that we've seen throughout this book. Look still in chapter 1 at verses 8 and 9. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return, each of you, to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. As we know, Ruth didn't go back. She stayed and committed herself to Naomi and to the Lord. Now look at chapter 2, verse 12. Boaz says this to Ruth. "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And then a few verses later in verse 20, Naomi prays a blessing on Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And the last prayer that I want us to look at is in chapter 3, verse 10. Again, Boaz prays, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich." Each of these blessings answered by the Lord through the giving of this baby. Verse 14. chapter 4. Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. So the spotlight now shifts from Boaz and Ruth back to Naomi. And the women of Bethlehem offer this blessing to the Lord. Likely the same women who recognized her upon her return to Bethlehem. Blessed be the Lord. They recognize that it is the Lord who has brought Naomi a redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel. If you think about that, that is an incredible blessing. The providence of God is finally fully seen by Naomi. It's seen by the ladies of Bethlehem. God has been with Naomi all along. He has been faithful. He has been full of loving kindness. And he has poured it out upon her through the giving of life. Naomi finally has a grandchild. The Lord has restored her broken family. Point number two, the Lord restores. The Lord restores. Verse 15, he shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This baby, this blessing, gives Naomi life. Naomi was dead inside. She was dead inside when she returned home, broken, bitter, lost. So much so, as you remember, she even changed her name. Naomi meant pleasant, and she said, I'm no longer pleasant. Call me Mara. That fits better. Well, bitter Mara no longer fits. Naomi has been given life again. He shall be a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. This word nourisher or sustainer is referencing Obed will be the one when he grows up to provide for Naomi in her old age. It's hard to underestimate how big of a blessing Obed is to Naomi. And then the ladies make another incredible statement. They say, your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. In those days, the value of seven sons was incredible. The number seven represented the number of perfection. Seven sons was considered the ideal picture of a full and beautiful family. And Ruth has shown Naomi extraordinary faithful love. She could have stayed in Moab. Instead, she didn't. She said, where you go, I go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And through Ruth, God has restored Naomi's family. Naomi, who was once empty, is now full. Once bitter, now pleasant. God has turned bitterness into joy. Then the writer tells us that Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. This word nurse or caregiver, what we're being told here is that this child is going to be well taken care of. Not only a great mom, but a very, very involved grandmother. And the women of the neighborhood, it says, give him a name, saying a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is kind of strange. Neither Boaz, Ruth, or Naomi names this baby. God doesn't name this baby. The neighborhood women name the baby. I could be wrong. But I believe this is the only time in Scripture where a baby is named by somebody other than the parents or God. And the family accepts the name Obed. Obed is likely a shortened version of the name Obadiah, The name Obadiah means servant. And here we see the even greater blessing of Obed to Naomi and Ruth. The answer to the prayer that Naomi's redeemer would be renowned in Israel. You see, Boaz's son, Obed, will go on to be the father of Jesse, who's the father of King David. The Lord advances his kingdom through the lineage of Boaz and Obed. And this is point number three. The Lord advances his kingdom. The Lord advances his kingdom. Verses 18 to 22. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Solomon. Solomon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. And Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. I used to come to genealogies, and I'd read them as fast as I could just to get through them. I never understood them. Actually, when Janelle and I were first married, we decided it'd be a good idea to read the Bible together. And so we're like, well, let's start in the New Testament. Okay? We open up to Matthew chapter 1. We read through the genealogy. We looked at each other and we were like, what? Why does it start like that? We were completely lost. Actually, I think I walked away feeling kind of defeated. I didn't seek out the answer. I wish that I had, because there is a reason for genealogies. The main question should be, who are these people? And had I asked the question, I probably would have gotten the answer. So I thought, well, let's just look at this first name here in verse 18. Who is Perez? Well, if you look above in chapter 4 at verse 12, it says this. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. Okay, Perez, Tamar, the writer's pointing us back. Most of your Bibles should have cross references. If it doesn't, come see me later and I will show you my cross references. Get yourself a Bible with cross references because they're invaluable. So I asked myself, okay, Perez and Tamar, who are they? So I look at verse 12 in the cross reference. I see Genesis 38. I turn to Genesis 38 and I start reading. Let's go ahead and do that. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, so I'll give you a little bit of backstory in verse 38, and then we'll read the final few verses. Before we do that, I want to reference something that Matt said at the beginning of this series. You might remember he said that Kings and Ruth would make for some great stories that could be TV shows and movies. Well, this one in Genesis 38 would be one of those where you have to fast forward to the uncomfortable parts. It would definitely be an HBO watch, not an NBC watch. Judah is one of Jacob's 12 sons. His brother Joseph, the one whom Judah and his other brothers sold into slavery. Judah had a few sons, and the story says that Judah took for his firstborn son a wife named Tamar. But the text tells us that his son was wicked, and in the sight of the Lord, he was put to death. So Judah said to his secondborn son, perform the duty for your brother and raise up for him an offspring. But he goes out of his way not to produce the offspring with Tamar. The Lord sees this as wicked and puts him to death. Now the third son wasn't old enough yet, so he told Tamar, you'll have to wait until he's old enough. However, Judah was scared to lose another son, so this never happened. Eventually, Judah's wife dies. Tamar's tired of waiting, and so she takes matters into her own hands. While Judah was in Timnah to shear his sheep, Tamar makes herself look like a prostitute. She veils her face, takes off her widowhood garments, puts on some other garments, and goes to where Judah is. He does not know that this prostitute on the side of the road is his daughter-in-law. Let's read the last few verses of Genesis 38. It should be on the screen. Starting in verse 16. He turned to her at the roadside and said, "Come, let me come into you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. She said, "What will you give me that you may come into me?" He answered, "I will send you a young goat from the flock." And she said, "If you give me a pledge until you send it." He said, "What pledge shall I give you?" She replied, "Your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand." So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. When she arose and went away, and taking off her veil, she put on her garments of widowhood. Then Judah sent the young goat by his friend to the Adullamite to take back the pledge from the woman's hand, but he did not find her. He asked the men of the place, "Where is the colt prostitute who was in Nahum at the roadside?" And they said, "No colt prostitute has been here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." Also, the men of the place said, "No colt prostitute had been there." And Judah replied, "Let her keep the things as her own, or we shall be laughed at. You see, I sent this young goat, and you did not find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law has been immoral. Moreover, she is pregnant by immorality." And Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned." And as she was being brought out, she sent word to her father-in-law, "By the man to whom these belong, I am pregnant." And she said, "Please identify whose these are, the signet and the cords and the staff." Judah identified them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I did not give her my son, Shelah." And he did not know her again. When the time of her labor came, there were twins in her womb. And when she was in labor, one put out a hand, and the midwife took and tied a scarlet thread on his hand, saying, "This one came out first." But as he drew back his hand, behold, his brother came out. And she said, "What a breach you have made for yourself." Therefore his name was called Perez. Afterwards his brother came out with a scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was Zerah. So this is who Perez is, the son of Judah and Tamar. Perez fathered Hezron, who fathered Ram, who fathered Amminadab, who fathered Nahshon, who fathered Salmon who fathered Boaz. I was going to have us look at 1 Chronicles, but it's redundant. So let's just look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David the king, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Honestly, it's quite amazing. I think it's very interesting and very intentional that Matthew mentions Tamar and mentions Rahab and mentions Ruth. The line of Jesus through the story of Tamar and Judah, then Boaz, whose mother was a prostitute, Rahab, the one who hid spies in Jericho, then Naomi's family line's in jeopardy, but God uses Boaz to redeem Ruth and Naomi. Their son Obed is the great-grandfather of King David. Since the fall, since Genesis chapter 3, God promised Adam and Eve that the Messiah would come through their offspring. And every genealogy that we see shows this progression. The redemption of Ruth and Naomi ultimately leads not only to the birth of King David, but to the birth of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Redeemer of Redeemers. The whole Bible points to Christ. The entire arc of redemption points to him. From the opening words of the Bible in the beginning to the last words, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all, amen. It's all about him. We are all like Naomi. We were all empty, lost, dead, all of us, no hope. But God sent the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ, as he promised he would do before the beginning of time. It's Jesus who gives life. He restores. He is hope. Our great Redeemer lives. He went to the cross for us. He took our place on the cross. He died the death that we deserved. He was buried, and he triumphantly rose from the grave, accomplishing salvation. The joy of salvation is upon us. The providence of God has been on display since the beginning of time. And so, church, I want us to remember this. God is faithful, even when it seems that his work is hidden. If you're lost, if you're feeling empty, if you feel broken, God is working. Run to him. We've had a rough couple of weeks. Remember that Jesus cares. He will put it back together. Remember your salvation. Remember his great love for you. His great love for you in securing your salvation. Keep your eyes on him. He is faithful, and he loves us more than we will ever know. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're faithful throughout the generations. Father, we confess that we often see only what's in front of us, our disappointments, our losses, our circumstances. Sometimes we wonder where you are in all of it. And Ruth reminds us that you are always at work. We thank you for the story of taking the empty and making it full again. Help us to trust your providence and remember that our hope is ultimately found in Jesus, our true and great Redeemer. May we leave today trusting that you are working all things according to your good purposes. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.